liver, liver, liver. Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I am your host, Jill Spears, here with L&L, Lance and Lulu.
That's a first.
That sounds like, you know, like, yeah, heading on down the L&L line.
That's right. That's right. LL Cool J in the house.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Wow. It's a call-in show and so much going on. The days are getting shorter, except the work is getting harder. But go to the phones, 970-527-4868. 866 KVNF now. You can email worm at kvnf.org. And that is the case. A little bit tired. You needed a nap the last few days, right?
Yeah,
Lance?
That's from whatever reasons you toss and turn all night.
Oh.
Sometimes that happens.
That happens. Yeah. You know, your mind, I got to do this and I got to do that. Oh. And it was one of those or two of those. Yeah. Two of those nights in a row. And it's, you're
all
exhausted.
All kinds of things on the.
And after,
to-do list.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Your recycled envelope is full of things.
Full of stuff.
Just list after list.
Lots of little things.
Mm-hmm. All right. And let's talk about just a little bit of a change in the weather. I think the heat has broken since.
Finally. For good, do you think?
What do you think, Lulu?
I don't know.
Well, it might be above seasonal temperature, but I don't think it's going to be in the 90s.
Right.
No. Maybe get up in the 80s. Maybe. I have no idea.
We have no idea.
You know, it's just been really strange. The leaves haven't turned.
You were mentioning that earlier. You came back from the other side of the hill at the dog trials.
Yeah. I was over there all last week staring at Mount Sopris waiting for my favorite patch to turn. And there was even a frost big enough to make ice on some of the, you know, buckets and things around.
Down low
at the ranch. And that patch hadn't turned as of yesterday, I guess, when I came over.
Right. We're talking today is the 17th of September.
That's late. I don't care.
I feel like that's late.
That's late.
Isn't that crazy?
It's
you kind of felt like it was going to be early, but here we are.
Here we are. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, who knows? Now, it was turning down by the river a little. There were you could see more color down there. And the color in the grass, once you come over the top of McClure Pass and you're heading right into, you know, down towards Paonia, the color in the grasses by the side of the road was exquisite.
Nice.
And
it's
all high. You know, it's all 2 feet high. And it was just this amazing.
Here it comes, right? What a great time of the year,
yeah.
For sure.
It was beautiful. It was just beautiful. It was just mesmerizing.
Right?
Mm-hmm. It was gorgeous. Anyway.
The light is good. The days are shorter. Needing a nap. Still doing fall cleanup.
Yeah, it's ongoing.
Ongoing.
And harvesting.
And harvesting, which is full on. What's going on?
Yeah, what's gone? Well, fall cleanup, you know, anything that's died and is done for the season comes out. Like all the parsley that I had for a seed crop, gone.
Really?
Yeah, took it out. Well, that's going to, I'm sorry to say, parsley is going to be a weed problem in that spot for a couple of years.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
You know? Take it out.
I'll take it out. And then, you know, I was at somebody's house and I noticed that their peonies had powdery mildew. Cut them down, get rid of them. Anything that's, you know, dying or has these things, just put in the compost.
Have no mercy.
Yeah. A little bit at a time.
And I never worry about powdery mildew in the compost.
No.
Ever.
No. You never do.
No.
Just throw it in there.
It's
going to cook
it
right off.
It's just going to go away. Powdery mildew needs specific conditions to a specific plant.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the spore, I mean, you know, I suppose they could live in the compost pile, but I doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of fragile.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where do they come from anyway? Just out of the air?
I don't know. I think it's in the soil.
Yeah.
Powdery mildew.
Yeah, powdery mildew.
So, but anything, like I said, anything,
it's coming to get
anything
you.
Dying, and, you know, pull it out. The corn stalks are done. Pull it out. Lots of people like to feed those to horses or cattle, or I pull them. when it's time. I haven't harvested my popcorn yet, but I shred it all. Run it through the shredder.
I harvested elderberries today.
Oh, great.
Oh,
a bunch
wow.
of them. Yeah. And we were sitting there putting them on the screens. I just used the little screens.
So how did you do that? Let me give the phone numbers, 527-4868-1866, KVNF now. How did you do that, those little tiny berries on the...
Well, the first thing you do is have to make sure they're ripe. And so they get ripe when the stems turn purple, going back towards the main stem. And the more the stems are purple, you can tell. I mean, they just look so ready.
Chocked full of...
Yeah, and so you cut them off and put them in your colander. And you decide whether or not you're going to wash them. And it's not really worth it to wash them because they just leak their juice all over the place.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I pretend they're clean. And then I'm going to dry them all anyway. So you just kind of ruffle them off and you know, kind of just wiggle them off.
Through the screen.
And onto the screen. And then you spread them out and you put them in the dehydrator. And
yeah.
There you go.
Tomorrow morning, they'll probably be done.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. I was thinking of the stem on those are purple.
Uh-huh.
For the prune plums, which for mine aren't quite ready, wait till that stem is a brownish red.
Yes.
Oh, you're right.
If it's green,
I've heard you say that before.
It took me 1 year. I just set every 3 days, I went out there and picked another one. Until I got what I wanted.
Right.
And the only thing different wasn't the color of the prune plum.
No.
It was actually the color of the stem.
Yeah, their color is all the way up.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, my tree, I can't believe it's not destroyed itself.
Which tree are we talking about?
My plum.
Prune plum?
Uh-huh. Yeah, my prune plums, the Italian plums.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm. Crazy. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I should have brought... Anybody want some? I've got dried from last year. Still, I could
so
plum
much
jelly
fruit,
or plum jam or something. I guess. Yeah, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
And the apples. The apples are coming off of Big Mama, and little sister is dropping her apples.
Right.
Oh my God, the pear tree is dropping pear. You got to be careful if you go under the pear tree.
That's for sure.
You're going to get
knocked. The
sky's falling.
Yeah, and I was away, so I just haven't had a chance to. Oh well, it's one of those years.
Right.
You know?
Oh, well, you're here till the snow flies, so.
Yeah, so there you have it. You know?
Got plenty of work to do, sister.
Yeah, sister.
And like the apricots still in September, and there's a little benefit of that in your garden.
Yeah, I'm actually done doing anything with apricots. But what it is doing is that every night the one or two or three raccoons go up there and they just have a feast. But what's nice is they're not touching anything else in the garden.
There you go, a deterrent.
Yeah, they are.
Late season fruit.
Yeah, they're just having a good time up there in the apricot tree.
You say apricots or apricots? I think I say
apricots.
I say apricot.
I say apricot too.
Yeah.
I suppose it's either way. Kind of
either
like
way.
Potato
we can look it up in a dictionary and see where the
yeah.
If it has
that
the
Colorado
line,
accent.
Yeah.
You look up almond. One of my sisters lived in the Chico area of Northern California, and there's lots of almonds there, and they weren't. If you look it up in the dictionary, it's not pronounced almonds. It's ammons.
Oh, no.
No.
It's ammons. Now, I'm going to have to look this up, but they said it was almond growers. It wasn't almond growers.
Oh, my gosh. That's like, need to call an ambulance. All right. 970-527-4868-1866 KVNF now. We'll check the email worm@kvnf.org. And, harvesting a lot of things. And I have to say, Lance, you said earlier, you may be tired of salad.
yeah, it happens. You get tired
of
things. You know?
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah. Now, I'm just sort of switching over. Spinach on a couple of spinach leaves on an open-faced cheese sandwich, mustard, mayonnaise, and tomatoes is really, really good. And that's homemade bread.
The little lady here is going.
And if
to
you really
heaven,
want to, and you can
bliss,
take it another
dream,
step and put some lettuce or basil leaves on that too.
Mm. Oh. Yeah, some fresh. Stop.
Go back.
And the arugula right now.
Arugula. And do you know what else? The sorrel.
Arugula and sorrel would be really good.
The sorrel on that cheese sandwich.
That's when I had that look. That's where I was going. Because
right.
It made me think of that with sorrel. You know, sorrel. Goodness gracious. You make a roast beef sandwich with real roast beef.
Ooh.
That you get at the deli.
Wow.
And a real hard roll that you don't get here.
I know where you're going.
Oh, my God. Spinach. Okay, so not spinach. Mayonnaise and a hard roll. And the roast beef, and then the sorrel, and then a little tomato, and oh my God.
Yeah.
Home
Lulu's
free.
Deli.
Yeah. And the tomatoes I have right now are Roma, so I was very, they were really good on there.
Yummy.
What was nice about them, good flavor, but not all this juice dripping all over the place.
Right. Ooh. And my brandy wines are tiny compared to, you know, what a brandy wine can really be. And they are they're exquisite. They're like they're just these tiny flavor packed jewels.
Ooh.
How do people do it that don't eat real food?
Yeah. I don't know.
They're missing out.
Good.
It's Harriet from Crawford on the line. Good evening,
Excellent.
Harriet.
Good evening to you fine folks.
Hi. How are you and what's happening in your garden?
Well, I'm great, and my garden is abundant. And speaking of almonds.
Oh, good.
Right.
I have an almond tree, and it's produced really well this year.
Uh-huh.
And I've read online ad nauseum about how to preserve them by drying and freezing, and I really want to know if I can just blanch them right off, like right out of the droop, and if I can crack the husk, or if I can I just blanch them?
Good question.
Huh.
Oh.
And then freeze them. And get them out of the husk. Right?
I actually just dry them in the hole and crack them as I need them.
Oh, you do?
Yeah,
okay.
I leave them that way. I don't even take them out of the husk. But, yeah, you could do that. You know, I think if you're going to freeze them, you're either going to blanch them or you're going to dry them first and then freeze them.
Yeah, that's what all the sites say, and I even called CSU Extension, and they say, dry it. Well, she was reading from one of the sites. Dry them and to a certain point, and then freeze them to kill any bacteria, and then you can take them out and put them in a jar and keep them on the shelf for up to 8 months or in the fridge for a year. But they're so ripe, and they're even when I was picking the droops off, the husks were cracking open, even, you know, white, showing me this beautiful white almond meat that was really sweet. And the last time I had a really good harvest about 3 or 4 years ago, I waited till they were all drier. I dried them, I froze them, and they were really bitter. And when I started testing these last week, they're juicy and sweet and milky tasting, and I thought, I don't want to wait. I don't want to dry them and have them get bitter. So I just thought if I could get them out raw and blanch them, but I can't even find anything online about that.
Yeah, no, I would just go for it and do your best. Yeah,
Fairness.
And do you have a variety on that? You know,
I don't. I really wish I did. I bought it and I put it in like 12 years ago, and I just I lost track of it. I don't think I. So I hope it's one of the edible ones. I mean, it sure tastes like it this year. Last time I harvested them, I thought maybe it's the ornamental one that you're not supposed to eat because they were so bitter.
No.
But
there's a Hall's Hardy almond that they'll sell in the nurseries.
Uh-huh.
And does this have a hard shell or just a soft shell in the inside?
Well, it has a soft droop that splits open, and then I peeled that off. And what's inside, it seems like a pretty soft hull because it's popping open. And I thought, well, did I give them too much water, not enough water? You know, I just don't know what I did.
Yeah, the Hard's Hardy almond has a very hard inner shell over the nut. And so I don't know what kind you have.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
But you think I can just go for it and get out what I can and blanch them and freeze them and see what happens. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to give that a try.
Good luck with that. They sound delicious. Just a great crop this year, huh?
Yeah. Just hundreds of them on there this year.
Great.
So I can afford to, you know, lose a few if it doesn't work out. But
yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. I'll let you go. And I just love the show. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Harriet. Good to hear from you. And, oh, I love that about this area. The nut trees that grow here. My goodness gracious.
Yeah, it's not well known, but yeah, you can grow nut trees here.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't it you who said you can grow a nut anywhere? You can grow a peach?
You can grow an almond. Almonds where you can grow peaches.
Peaches.
You just have to have, there's like 400 varieties of almonds on the commercial market.
Wow.
So
you
have to, too many for me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So you just have to research. And there's a lot, if you know how to actually do really good research, you can find stuff that's very hardy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Sounds like she's got a great mm-hmm. crop.
Yeah.
Really
there.
Juicy
mm-hmm.
and
too,
milky.
Yeah.
And
huh?
It sounds like a self-pollinator.
Yeah. Right.
And, it's just been that kind of year. I mean, I'm astonished.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still astonished
right.
at how everything grew this year.
Like the apricots
yeah.
in September.
so
apricot.
Do you want to hear it? Because it's on a rate. Watch.
Apricot.
That's how you say it.
It's apricot.
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 Right?
Okay.
Apricot. Okay. Good deal. All right. 527-4868-866-KUNF now. And it's Lita in Redvale with an email. Hooking
oh,
up high
that.
Tech, huh? I'm enjoying the show. Thank you, Lita. My question is about carrots. I want to harvest my carrots after the first frost. Do I need to keep watering them until then? Happy
yeah.
harvesting.
Yes.
She says.
Yeah,
yes.
You don't
yeah,
want
you
to
keep watering.
Get soft.
Yeah. But as things cool, you might pay attention to how moist the ground is, because if you keep on watering regularly and then it cools off and the ground gets wetter and wetter, the carrots will rot or can.
Oh.
You know, so this is you just have to pay attention.
It's the same old fine line.
Yeah, you have to watch it and stuff. And I'm still watering carrots. I still have three beds of carrots. And the only thing I would be concerned about harvesting carrots is your cold storage, wherever you may be doing that. Is it cold enough yet? Is it a root cellar? Is it a refrigerator? Refrigerator is going to be cold enough. Root cellars are not cold enough.
You know, so where are you going to put them after?
Where
are
you put them? I don't do any of that kind of root storage till late October, early November.
Oh, you leave them in.
Yeah. And, you know, is Redvale that much higher?
What is the elevation in Redvale?
I've heard the name, but I don't know the elevation. So
I think Jeff would
come up with it.
Come up with that.
Yeah, so that would be, you got to wait till your storage space is cold enough
right.
to do that.
Right. And that for you is around what general time? November-y?
Yeah, lately it's been the first week of November.
Okay, first week of November.
Yeah, it's been moving gently more and more later and later. Let's put it that way.
Right, later and later. Gently later and later. That's a nice way to say it. All right. Okay. I hope that helped, Lita, for harvesting your carrots. And you have three beds of carrots left for you, Lance. How big is that?
Well, that's about 1,200 pounds.
1,200 pounds of carrots left.
Jesus.
You better have a big storage bed.
Oh, man.
No, they will be left there until they're all gone.
Until they're all gone.
See,
yeah.
I would probably do something like juice them and freeze it.
Yeah. Well, I'll store about 50 pounds of those.
Oh, you'll store 50 pounds? That's what takes you through the winter?
Yeah, that's actually more than what it takes me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Elevation. Here it is. I don't have my glasses on, you guys. It's 6,000. Oh, mother of
64, God. 6,483 coming
yep,
through for Jeff. Look at you guys.
Okay.
Yep.
Right on the money.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's Redvale elevation.
Yep. Okay,
Lita out
that.
There with her carrots. And what are you? What's your elevation?
61.
61. All right, just a little bit higher.
Yeah.
Which we all know could make a little bit of difference.
Yeah.
Everything
oh,
is
yeah.
so touchy.
Yeah, I'm, you know, down there, down in old Montrose down near there, it's hot, dry, and dusty in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, thinking of those carrots, I'll be growing Italian giant reds. Next year for
ooh.
Seed crop. So I will be setting 50 or 60 of those aside for a seed crop.
Wow.
So I'll be storing those. And again, that doesn't happen until
November.
November.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So harvesting continuing. Let's hear what you guys are doing in your garden. 970-527-4868, 866 KVNF now. What about the grapes? I see them hanging all over the area.
They're staying there, and if you want them to ripen, don't water them.
Don't water the grapes. Stop watering.
Yeah, it's simple as that. I remember talking to somebody that was visiting the garden. He says, and they were in Denver, and he says, we can't get our grapes to ripen. Can't get our grapes to ripen. I says, well, what are you doing? He says, and he goes, you know, and then he mentioned for some reason that he had planted raspberries right underneath the grapes.
Uh-oh.
And the raspberries need water.
Oh.
And I said, you'll have to move the raspberries.
Yeah. Yeah. Two separate.
I just turned the sprinkler off the other day because my ground is so wet. So guess what? Those grapes are going to be wet. They're not going to dry out.
Not with this, the days are short enough. You don't get enough.
I won't. And there's so much. The vinca grows all around in there, so that's keeping the ground nice and cool and moist.
Mm-hmm.
Vinca.
Yeah, but the Reliance grapes, it doesn't matter. They're ripening and they're fabulous, and there's only a few bunches left because somebody's been out there.
And I know who. It's the same people pilfering the September apricots in Lance's garden. Those dirty raccoons.
Yeah, that's not, they haven't been in the grapes, thank God.
No.
Oh,
somebody else is pilfering.
Somebody else is pilfering. Oh, no, because
the same people pilfering the squash in my neighbor's alley.
Yeah, go ahead. You know, that's all right.
Plenty of it for sure.
You know, right? It's just been, and I can't get, I'm stuttering. I'm stunned.
Like the fruit, Lance, you were talking about dumping fruit. Mm-hmm. I mean, and actually that's a thing in my yard with all the peaches falling off my tree. I just can't keep up with it and dumping it into the compost area.
Yeah.
Keeping it clean.
Well, I've actually seen dump trucks full of peaches, and I've seen flatbed trailers with the big 20 bushel bins full of peaches going away from the packing shed. They were going up the hill, so where were they going and stuff? So I mean, people would probably feed them to livestock, pigs maybe. It's that kind of stuff.
That's a lot of food.
Somebody's distilling them.
Yeah,
that could be too. Peach brandy.
Baby. Yeah, moonshine in the hills. Follow that truck.
So, and I mean, all my stuff that's ripe, there's I put it in buckets and haul it down to the edge of the canyon and throw it in, and those squirrels are really getting fat and shiny down there.
Yeah.
And the marmots, they like it.
Fat and shiny?
Their fur. Yeah. And that fox.
I'm going out tonight.
Yeah. And there's a fox that sits in the boulder watching it all. He's just sort of keeping his eye on things.
Yeah, he's waiting until they get good and fat and shiny, and then he's going in.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fabulous. I love that, the systems. I love the connections between everything. It just blows me away.
That's a whole critter neighborhood going on there.
That's a whole different category,
And you mentioned you've got a lot of water dogs.
Salamanders. Yeah, been seeing a lot of those guys. They're not very deep. They're just sort of checking things out and stuff. Deep. What I mean by deep is they haven't buried themselves yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but they're around. I was surprised to see so many this year. I'm still, the latest compost pile has 6 to 7 young toads in it.
That's great.
Where's your water source? I
suspect it's
your pond.
I suspect it's a pond across the road.
Across the road.
Yeah, because it's not on my side.
There you go. See, so
that's kind of nice.
Okay, so if you're driving and it's up Lance's road and it's raining, you don't run over any old salamanders, man. They're all becoming after you.
Yeah, fog lights on that road.
Yeah. Yep. Well, so what do you think about this idea, okay? Because one of my pear trees has a bit of fire blight on it.
Mm-hmm.
So after I harvest the pears, I think I'll cut the fire blight out. You think that's a great idea?
It might
work. It's late enough in the year.
It's late enough because...
maybe.
And I was just watching some of the orchard people, and they didn't actually prune the fire blight out until the spring when they did their regular pruning.
Right, but then it's a little... Well, I guess it's not that much harder to see.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Yeah, that...
I mean...
Yeah, go for it. See what happens.
Getting it out of there.
Right? Take my own advice.
Yeah.
Go for it. Go for it, dude. See what happens.
What are you afraid of?
Just check it out.
Allow it to be.
Yeah. And then I think I'm going to top that one pear tree.
Because
it's getting higher than the big ladder. That's
really
serious. Yeah. So I'll top that. Okay, well, yeah, well, I was just wondering, you know, the thought crossed my mind, so I thought I'd throw it out there.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody else knows out there in Radio
what
Land.
What would you do?
What would you do with the fire blight in your pear
trees? If it's not that much, it's not going to hurt anything.
It's not that much. There's not that much in Little Mama to really justify cutting her down.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, because...
You are cutting her down?
Well,
I hear that?
Not all the way down. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, because she's been dying off
branches.
I know. She's been dying off branches for how many branches? For 3 years. And there's one, no, 4 years. And because there's five branches and there's one branch left.
Oh,
and that branch has fire blight, you know, scattered through it. And it's just, you know, I'm kind of tired of shoveling it's a tide.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yep.
The end of an era.
Yeah, I've realized that I don't eat the early apples. And I might have mentioned this. So the Macintosh and the Gala will probably come out.
Oh, really? You're
going
to rip that out. You've got a lot of tree changing up happening this fall. Yeah. Is that happening in the fall too?
Yeah, I just realized, you know, and especially when you got so much fruit like this and those trees... You know, why you're not even touching them.
If you're not using it, you're out of here.
Yeah, you put something in you're going to eat and use.
Yeah.
For sure.
And, you know,
wonderful.
The flowers have taken over my garden and they've taken over my life. So, you know, that's it.
That's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fabulous.
Yeah,
I mean,
right?
I could be a real flower.
You are
grow
a flower.
Flowers. But you know, but in the meantime, I like to eat. Foods, so I won't. But you know, but I have to make some. I want to make some, change it up in the flower beds. Yeah, and just bring more. Spread the color around and spread the varieties around. And the irises need, you know, some help and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So
now's a great time to think. Planning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going
to want to do different.
And you know, for me, I think I'm just going to start getting after it, especially with the phlox and the iris. Because I want to put the phlox where the irises are and the iris, some of the iris where the phlox are.
Okay.
It's going to be very...
That's switching her up.
Yeah.
Musical chairs there.
Yeah, and I think everybody will be a lot happier, so I'm going to do it.
There you go. That's what it's about, feeling good.
Yeah, getting all the plants to feel good. And then there's so many. Oh, my God. Anybody want to go to work for me?
I'm thinking of different planting scenarios. Just cutting back on some. Like, I plant too much kale.
Carrots.
Kale. Swiss chard. For my own personal use.
Right.
So why not take... cut that back by a third, and I'd still be just fine and still be able to give stuff away.
Right.
Sure.
You know, there's things like that.
Sure.
You know, carrots, I'm really good at.
That's your
thing. You know,
thing.
So, sorry.
Yeah.
That
do
might
what
get,
you
that
gotta
might,
do.
That might get increased.
Yeah. And Sarah,
right.
Sarah and Willie and I are thinking we're going to do the garlic, a big thing of get them going garlics down at my house because my beds are so weeded and so... primed, and it'll be so much easier than trying to do it up there.
Uh-huh. Get them all start well, easy starts down here,
and just easier to maintain, easy to weed, and you know, there's not. Except I let the purslane go.
Oh,
God. I know, I am.
Well, just eat it.
Yeah, no, it's so easy. It plays fair, and I really like it.
It does produce a tremendous amount of seeds. That's the
thing. Yeah, they'll be
everywhere.
But, you know, that's okay, too. I mean, you know, it made this phenomenal ground cover.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'll just put it back in. And
yeah. It has a good taproot. Persilane has a good taproot for plants.
Breaks
so it really breaks up the soil.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, so
lots
these weeds, as much as we get mad at them, they actually can be quite beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Some of those.
Clover and dandelion.
Good Western
and all
weeds.
That stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Salsify. Yeah, my garden wouldn't happen without salsify.
Yeah. And that's another deep-rooted
deep-rooted,
what do I want to say?
Salsify.
Taproot that when it dies, it aerates the soil.
You bet.
Yeah.
You bet.
Love
and I
that
try
stuff.
To leave
There's
as much
system.
Root in as I can. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. You know, one system helping the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what life is all about.
Nice. All right. Thank you so much to our callers tonight. It was Lita and Harriet coming from Crawford and Red Vale. And thank you, Lance and Lulu, for sharing your advice and expertise. And we'll be back next Tuesday for another edition. Lance has got his envelope list already going with the stuff.
I already crossed out whatever we didn't talk about goes on next week's list.
Okay, good deal. It is Lady J up with One Woman's Perspective next. Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF.
Okay, have a good evening.
Good night, everybody.
That I love so, low, little low, and low.